Good morning again. Good to see you here with us this morning. I know it was rough. Overnight, all kinds of predictions about what it might be like today. You know, it used to be, I said this to the morning crowd too. It wasn't that popular when I said it, but you know, we used to live in central Pennsylvania where it snowed all winter long. I mean, every time it snows, we cancel everything, and we're not doing that around here. We're not chicken of that, are we? Thank you, though, for braving that and coming this morning. I think the roads were fine when I came in. Were they fine when you came? If they weren't fine when you came in, you have to stay until they are all afternoon. But we're glad you're here. Thank you for choosing to be with us. And we're kind of in that busy time of year, aren't we? Got a lot going on. The kids have been out this morning, as they have been every service since they started practicing for next Sunday, which is our Christmas Sunday service. So at the end of each service, they will come out and perform their Christmas cantata, right? Are we calling it cantata? No, maybe that's a little rich. We can call it cantata if we want. Their song that they're preparing for us, and they're going to do that at the end of each service, so we're looking forward to that. And then, of course, if you have no plans or whatever, I know a lot of people on Christmas Eve will spend time with family, the other side of the family, or whatever it is that your people do. But if you have no plans, we'd love to have you join us for Christmas Eve service at 7, as Owen mentioned a little bit earlier. And hey, even if you did get together with family, bring them along. It's an hour. It's a great way to kick off the Christmas celebrations with us. So we'd love to see you here on Christmas Eve as well. You know, since we moved into this building in 2021, we have experienced an incredible number of babies being born, which is great. There are reasons for that, and if you don't know what those reasons, you can come see me later. We love that kind of growth. We love for you to have babies, and maybe you're not having babies anymore or haven't had them at all, but we love any time a family is blessed with newborns, and we celebrate that together. I can't even keep track of how many newborns have burst onto the scene since we opened our building, and we love that. One of my favorite activities to do with Dawn is we go and try to see as many of those newborns as we can, visiting with them after they get back from the hospital. Used to be able to go to the hospital and see them, but they kick you out so quickly now we can barely get down there in time. And so we visited in homes. And if that didn't happen for you or somebody you know, I apologize. We can't get always to every single one of them, but we get to as many as we can just to celebrate that time and get together with them. There's just something about a new life being brought into the world that almost demands our attention, doesn't it? You have to stop and acknowledge that. Babies are like that, aren't they? Babies are demanding, aren't they? I mean, they demand attention because we see them in our community of faith or community at large or whatever, but babies, God built them. God wired babies to be demanding because they needed to be able to communicate somehow that they need something, and so everything stops and you go and take care of what's going on with the baby. So we go in the hospital, or we show up at the home with a meal or something, or maybe even better, diapers, you know, when they're first born to help along with what's going on at home. And even if we didn't get to visit them, the moment a family walks into our church, you know, with a new baby, they're surrounded by attention, aren't they? Everybody wants to see and talk about, and not the parents. You guys are just window dressing at that point, right? By the time you start having children. But we love to see the babies, and we want to celebrate that together. As we begin to go through our series for Christmas, the Christmas season, the Christmas timeline that we're on here in Luke, and that's in chapter 2, if you want to turn your Bible over there, that's where we're at. The entire series is in Luke chapter 2. But we started with the hospitality that was shown to Mary and Joseph when they arrived in Bethlehem. That's not where they're from. They're from Nazareth. And so they had to travel to Bethlehem. And when they got there, we know that some sort of hospitality was shown to them to give them a space, even if it wasn't the upper room or the guest part of the home. They landed somewhere. And, of course, right up to the time the baby was born, they needed a place to do that as well. And someone reached out in hospitality to show that hospitality to them. Last week, we talked about how hospitality cannot really be shown if it's not accepted. Somebody has to be there to say, yeah, I'll take you up on that. And then the hospitality can be shown. It can be given. It requires their presence to be shown. And Jesus showed up, didn't he? God become flesh. He became one of us in order to save us. And he calls us to follow him into that presence in this world. Being present for the people that are around us. Being present in every moment that we find ourselves. And not just present as in, okay, I'm paying attention, but present as a representative of Jesus in this world. Showing his grace and his love and the gospel message to other people around us. That's what we're called into. Today, we read a little earlier about the shepherds gathering in a field that was just outside of Bethlehem that night. And they're interrupted when they're out there by something spectacular. And when we read through this passage together, which we'll read highlights in just a moment what we read earlier, when we read through that, one of the first questions that comes to my mind is, how did they know it was an angel? Because it was just a single person. How did they get that from what was going on there? You know, we see angels appearing throughout, particularly Old Testament scripture, will sometimes enter into a scene. And a lot of those times, they are there just as taken as normal human beings. They don't recognize that they are angels. The direct interpretation of those words as messenger, the word angel is made up. I mean, is transliterated into our language, but really, if it was translated into English, it would be messenger. So a messenger from God shows up, you don't always know. They're just walking around. They could be like anybody else passing around. But then there are other times where when an angel shows up, they make their presence pretty obvious, and we'll read why that is, how we can make that distinction here in other times. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 9, starting in that verse. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So that's a little different than what you'll get from a stranger. And they were filled with great fear. Anytime fear is present, those people that are encountering angels, that's when you know that angels showed themselves to be from the Lord. That's a common response. They revealed themselves in an obvious way. Look at verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." So he's trying to calm them down. "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And the Greek word used there for good news is where we get our English word evangel or evangelism. So in a very real sense, the angel appears to the shepherds out in the field and evangelizes them. He tells them, Jesus is here. This is the rescue plan. This is why God did all this. And we think that angel that appeared to the shepherds was Gabriel. We don't get that information from the passage. But Gabriel's been involved in this story. He's been talking to people. And every single time Gabriel appears thus far, he's appeared in private to people to let them know of the coming Jesus, of the birth of Jesus. But here, Gabriel announces it kind of publicly, right out in the middle of everything, and lets them know that Jesus is here. Look at verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." God chose to announce or pronounce the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, to a group of shepherds. Who, by the way, the very nature of what they did kept them separated, kept them out of temple worship with the other Jews. That's who God first makes the public announcement via his angel to. Paul later wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. We're all shepherds, aren't we? We are not worthy to approach the throne of God. We're not acceptable on our own. But because of the the birth of Jesus into this world and his obedience to death on the cross, and because he was victorious over the grave and over death, we have become rich. Amen. Verse 12 says, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Here's the sign, shepherds. If you want to know how to find this, how to recognize it, here's the sign, shepherds. You'll find him in poverty. You're not going to find him in a palace. You're not going to find him in luxury. He's not first announcing us to the most important people of the land. He's not going on CNN. He's not meeting with the king or the emperor or the Caesar. You'll find him right where you are, because he came for you. Verse 13, "And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The Greek word used for multitude there is the word that translates for us most easily as plethora of angels. I want you to know that has nothing to do with the message today. I just love the word plethora. I think we ought to pay attention. That's what it says. There's a lot. That's all it means. It's a lot. Too many to get. You'd lose track. By the time you got to the end of it, everything would be over and it'd be 2025 and 6 already. You're not going to count them at all. There were a lot of angels, an enormous number of angels in the night sky. And amazingly, in this story, I'm just asking questions again. But we don't get any record that anybody witnessed this except those shepherds. Seems like a pretty grand cosmic event, doesn't it? And yet it was intended for them. It could be that other people saw it. Maybe they saw some light in the sky or something like that. Or maybe they heard some thunder, like sometimes happens when God is speaking and nobody else quite understands the words. We don't know why that is. But they themselves were meant to get this message. And with whom did the angels say God is pleased when he announced that to them? Those who believe and accept the gift that God had given through his Son. To them, to those people, God brings peace. And what's the reaction of the shepherds that night? You know, because you saw the play, didn't you? And the movie. You know what the reaction of the shepherds is? It's a reaction any of us would have if we're faced with this. Verse 15, "And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." You know, when one of the church families has a baby, I want to see them. We celebrate with them when they come into church, even if you weren't able to visit them at home, and they come in to church for the first time with their baby, you want to celebrate with them. And having a baby is like a universally accepted celebration event. But it's usually because we know them somehow. We have a contact with them that we're allowed to have that celebration with them and all that. I mean, you're not going to probably do that with people you don't have a connection with. There are a lot of babies that are born in our county. Imagine if you showed up at their house saying, "I know I don't know you, but can I hold the baby?" You're probably going to get labeled pretty quick. Might even get your picture at the post office or something. That's not going to go over real well. There's no connection there. We don't know that. But even with the smallest connection, your mailman has a baby. Hey, you'd love to see the baby sometime. You know, there is a connection that happens there that allows us to celebrate with them. Even though we might be happy for people we don't know that have babies, that connection is what makes it special to us. But notice the connection that the angel spoke of in verse 11. What does he say? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Unto you, shepherds. Unto you, meek and lowly. Unto you, unworthy one. The sinful, the downcast, the broken. This Jesus is born to you, unto you. The shepherds even said, the Lord made this known to us. That is a rich statement from them, isn't it? There's a connection there. There's a reason to not only believe, but become excited about this, because it's not just some remote event. Gee, somebody else had a baby. Well, it's happening all over the countryside. This baby, though, was born unto you. Let's go see a baby. It means something. Look at verse 16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They ran. They ran to see Jesus. And they found him in the manger just as the angel said. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned then, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. A few weeks ago, I talked about Christmas movies, favorite Christmas movies and all that, and watching them up to Christmas time. And I don't know how you are. Our girls, they're, for some reason, in their minds, there's an order to all of them. You can't watch them out of order. And I didn't know that. I almost made the ultimate faux pas, in trying to watch one before. No, we have to watch this one first. I understand when they're in a trilogy or something, but, movies that are unrelated drives me a little crazy, but those movies have something in common and something that is challenging, and that is that almost all of them, to some extent, try to answer the question, what's the real meaning of Christmas? And one of my frustrations is that they fail so miserably at it most of the time. Their answers are often, Christmas is all about being together. I want to be together with you, but Christmas is more than that to me. Christmas is all about family. Christmas is all about love and harmony. Maybe even the greater message, Christmas is all about peace on earth. And if it's about that, we've failed pretty miserably, haven't we? Because we don't have peace on earth. It keeps happening. We think about those folks that have been affected just in the last 24 to 48 hours by violence. What's going on in Australia? What happened at Brown University? Some of you are just learning about that now. This happens so often now that we're almost numb to it. I'm not saying we don't care about that, but it happens more frequently, and they're more close together, and we live in this turbulent world of violence, and during the midst of that, we often hear folks try to stop and sing about peace on earth. And I'm not sure that was Luke's point. I'm not sure that was the angel's point. That kind of peace. That kind of peace, where we have peace worldwide, that's coming. God's working on it. Jesus will come back to set all that right. But the very first time that Jesus came back, he came to address the core issue for all of us. And that issue is that we need to have peace in our hearts with our Creator through forgiveness in Jesus Christ. If we don't have that kind of peace, we can't possibly try to achieve the other, because we're broken, aren't we? So many of us, celebrate Christmas without really understanding the meaning, what's going on behind the scenes, the astonishing significance of what happened that night 2,000 years ago. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We look at ourselves and our own situation, and we realize that we can identify as those shepherds, the outcast, the dirty, the sinful, the broken. But the angel told us, Jesus is born unto you. Oh, come, let us adore him. For he is truly Christ, our Savior, the Lord. Let's go see a baby. And let's tell everybody about it. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, your personal Savior, this time of year is a special time of year to give your life to him. I hope and pray you're ready for that today. And if you tend to celebrate Christmas, the Christmas season, without really celebrating the Christ that gives it meaning, then maybe it's time to change up your routine a little, your thought process, and the meaning that you derive from pausing this time of year and celebrating. We want to celebrate this Christmas season by following the two examples of those shepherds that they gave to us. Come and see, and then go and tell. We are called to follow Jesus into that presence this time of year as salt and light, so that we can offer the kind of peace that only Jesus brings in this life. Peace with God the Father, our Creator, because of Jesus Christ, His Son. Let's pray together. Father God, we are astonished when we think not only of you giving your own Son, but the willingness of Jesus Christ to live as one of us, to die in our place, to be victorious over the grave, and whom we believe is alive and well and sitting at the right hand of the Father, even today. That brings us such hope, Father, that your rescue plan was born from grace, that we don't have to do anything to clean ourselves up, or we don't have to earn your pleasure. We don't have to do a number of right things in a checklist, Father, but we need only trust in the Savior that you sent. And so we pray this Christmas season, Father, that you would help us to come to terms with the Jesus that fills it with meaning. Not only for us, who come and see and celebrate each Sunday the wonderful presence of Jesus in our lives, but we are a people who are called also to go and tell and to bring that hope to the people we come into contact with every day. Help us to be like Jesus in that manner, Father, that we can celebrate in a way that brings attention to Him and Him alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.